Welcome to another week of To The Final Bell, brought to you by Thirsty Camel, the official Geelong Cats podcast. I'm about to introduce a special guest who's joining in. Scotty Gallen's decided to take off and follow some athletics nonsense or swimming or whatever it is that he's doing at the moment. We do have a special guest panelist who's joining us. Jordan Clark's going to join us a little bit later on as well, which is something to look forward to. But let's get to the big news off the top. Zach Tui, you're a father again. Congratulations.
Yep, thank Rafferty. You very much. Yeah, Rafferty. I was born game day, so it's a good thing I wasn't playing because I wouldn't have missed the game. No, he was, yeah, all good. Born.
All good, all healthy, all happy.
Yep.
Fantastic. Congratulations to you and Beck and Flynn.
Flynn.
Got a little brother to torment now. Mm. That's wonderful news, but I think this is even more wonderful news. The bloke who's sitting next to you, he's just a great friend of this podcast. You're disagreeing with me?
He's a great friend of Reg. I'm not sure he's been a long-time listener of the podcast.
I'm sure he's listened every single week, and he's been desperate to join in and be a part of this incredible podcast. Lachie Henderson, welcome, Hendo.
Thank you for having me, Lee. Yeah, I haven't listened, but...
Not even one?
Oh, a couple maybe here and there, but I've just got to ask if, Zach, have you listened before?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Do you listen back to our work?
Listen is a really strong word. It gets thrown about a lot these days.
Maybe we need to start listening back to some of our work. But, Hendo, great to have you with us and back in action and back in form and playing in a good win on the weekend. All's good.
All's good, mate. When you go over to Adelaide and have a good win like that, you got to come back extremely happy. So I think we're chatting with Hawkey after the game. I don't think the young boys know how big that win was for us on Thursday night over in Adelaide. It's always tough to get a win over there, so it was nice.
It was a huge win, wasn't it? Because you played good footy early, but they came at you. They came at you hard and looked like the momentum. I like to go to bed nice and early, Zach, as we've established. Yeah. I almost tempted to just flick it off at three-quarter time thinking, oh, maybe the Crows are going to come over the top here. I want to get a little bit of beauty sleep. I'll go to bed. But I stayed up and I watched a wonderful last quarter by the boys.
Yeah, no, big time. I don't believe you're going to go to bed, Lingy, because I know you pretty well. There's no way you would have not watched your Catters play.
No, I couldn't take my eyes off it.
Yeah. But no, we did. We played really well. Run of the pump in that third quarter and we held up just enough, I think, and then came out in that last quarter and ran over the top of him, which was nice.
Ratey's game for us, can you, Zach?
No, I did think he was outstanding. Just talking about how big that win was and the young guys maybe not knowing, you could definitely be forgiven at halftime, even halftime before Adelaide came out and really launched. You could be forgiven for wondering like how they were going to respond. Because anybody who's watched footy or played for a little while knew Adelaide were going to come out swinging. Like, there's just no way they weren't going to get on top for at least sort of 10, 15 minutes. Really, they got on top for most of that third quarter. What we had a knack of doing was just not letting them get close enough. And 5 minutes into the last quarter, we'd blown the margin back out to what it was at halftime. That is so demoralising, like when you fought so hard to get back in it.
And it's a really great sign of the strength of the group, the character of the group, and as you said, some young players to fight through the opposition coming at you in front of a hostile crowd. One of those young players, now a real favourite of this podcast, Brian. What a game. Brian Myers.
Yeah, Brian.
Brian. I've got to call him Brian. Is that? I've got to call him Brian.
Please call him Brian.
Okay, done.
It's a soft Brian. G. Yeah. Yeah, he was awesome. You saw it up close, but like a couple of, if you added the two angles that he kicked those two goals from and gave me that angle, I wouldn't kick it. Like, those are two clutch goals, especially the last one.
Well, I thought he was awesome. I would have stopped and looked for a handball.
Yeah, you look for a little wraparound.
where are you, Reg? There you are.
He's got the goal sense. So you can't teach that sense in the forward line to find space first of all, and then to be able to kick those.
I think we saw that when he first came in. He obviously had the fitness, but you just saw it in training around the goals. He just had it. He's got a bit of a weird kicking style, but it works for him, and he's kicking goals for us, and that's all we need.
The other guys, I thought Tommy Atkins too needed a little bit more love in a patch there. I was getting angry at my fellow Channel 7 commentators. Mm. They pumped up, I think, Brian, got the ball to Gaz and Gaz kicked the goal. And then the very next one, Gaz got the ball to Brian and Brian kicked the goal. Yeah. Both times, Tom Atkins had protected Brian first of all. And then he was the one who got a little handball under unbelievable heat.
One of those was ridiculous. It was like a one-hand scoop-up with somebody on his hips, and he got it out to Gaz to give to Grimes.
I was going to say the same thing. That ground ball that
was
he got
unbelievable.
Was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's so good to see. Throw in Charlie Constable, I think. Well, what was the stat in the first three games of his career?
Yeah, 20 and a goal, first time since
Andrew Jarman 100 years ago. So they continue to impress, not to mention the bloke who we are going to be talking to a little bit later on in this podcast, Jordan Clark. Just we love the way he goes about everything. From an entire team perspective, the importance, I suppose, and it is the case with any team, that your really good players play well under the heat of a big game, interstate. Paddy Dangerfield's game, as far as leadership goes, was really incredible as well. I know he probably loved doing that over there in Adelaide, but he led the way. I mean, a number of the other really senior players stood strong, and that helps bring those young guys along, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, I genuinely think Paddy, in my opinion, is back at the top of the tree in terms of midfielders in the league. I think he's firmly back as the best midfielder in the league. I think that's how good he's been playing this year. But like, he's one that I think we've spoke about this before. With these new rules, it's just going to be so many moments in games. Like, there's going to be so many one-on-ones that whoever wins it, it's just going to stand out so much. We talk about Colla doing it against Melbourne just so many times. He kept his feet when whoever he was on didn't. Paddy has a knack of doing that when games get really tight in big games and hostile environments. He has a knack of finding a clearance where no one else would.
What about his mate in the midfield, Tim Kelly? Brilliant again. We all just held our breath for a second as we were watching at home. Ankle, I believe. Can either of you update? How is he? Please tell me he's okay.
He's walking around. So far, so good. It's just one of those things. You just got to wait and see with it a little bit. And I was with him this morning for most of the morning, and he was walking around the gym nicely. So I can update that he is walking. He's looking pretty good.
It's funny. Rewind 10, 12 years ago when I was still running around. A bit of an ankle injury, you know, you'd be given right up to the last minute. You'd test it massively. You'd probably go out and play maybe at 60%. And you'd be right. You'll get through, and you'd want to push through. Now it's so much more important than ever that I'm assuming they won't take a risk, will they? If he can't perform up to, let's call it 90%, because there's probably no such thing as 100%. Yeah, yeah. If he can't perform up to that, clubs are more inclined to say, no, well, we just won't play him because we want him to be then right to go the following week, rather than this ankle injury drag on for 6 or 8 weeks because he's just sore for the next 2 months. Is that right more than ever now?
Yeah, I think they take a more holistic view. Like, I obviously didn't, the game was much probably more physical when you played maybe, but the game is just so hard and so taxing on your legs right now that you can't really, like, there's just a point where you can't be below it and expect to perform, because it only takes one or two chinks in your armour to get totally found out in a game. And clearly he's an important player. We're three rounds into what hopefully will be a 25 or 6 game season, whatever it is. We just couldn't possibly afford to risk him right now.
On the point of what it used to be, I think you could, you could be creative with your running back then to save a little bit. You'd still run extremely hard.
Yeah.
But if you're a little sore or whatever it is, you could have a little rest somewhere on the ground. I don't think you can now. You guys, it is in constant motion, and it's up and down the ground. It's played in compact areas of the ground, and then you've got to transition to the other end of the ground. You're all sort of, even the builds look like middle distance runners now. And so I think that the taxing nature on the legs now is far beyond anything going back 20 years ago.
It's taxing nature, but it's also, there's a lot of outside influence coming into it as well. Like, you've got the taxing nature of the game, and the game's still running, and we're still running the amount of Ks, but you can get found out in so many other different ways now, and teams, coaches, whoever it is, you don't want to put someone out there that's not 90% or whatever that percentage we want to talk about is. As Zach said, you want to be really careful, especially with lower limb injuries, because they can go bad quick.
And the advent of the bloody behind the goals camera being so much clearer, there's nowhere to hide anymore.
Yeah, you get found out so quick, it's harsh.
Did you have that back in your day, behind the goals, Leah?
Were there cameras?
It wasn't that long
ago.
Did
you have the shoestring up the middle of your jumper? Oh, was that when you started out?
The lace-up jumpers. That would have been good. I think a certain football club around 2008 started sneaking in a camera into the ground behind the goals to get a good view, and started coaching a team-type defence that may have had the initials CC. something cluster. I'm not going to say which club it was. And that's when I think behind the goals vision became so much more important. Yeah. They could teach entire defences and every player, you could give them feedback on where they're positioning themselves as opposed to just individuals acting in a defensive manner.
Do you think the game would look better if that didn't happen? Because wasn't there people saying that they should get rid of behind the goals from a coaching perspective? Because that was what was clogging up the game, apparently.
I think that's what some are making that argument.
It's ridiculous argument.
I mean, I love the game the way it is. I mean, watching the intrigue of Thursday night's game, the way Adelaide came, the way you guys responded was brilliant. Saturday night's game, West Coast versus Collingwood, sensational. Collingwood good in the first quarter. But the way West Coast completely shut down the way Collingwood want to play and made them look pretty average was a sensational way tactically, but also they played to their strengths and just took them apart. I love the intrigue of two really good teams going at it physically, tactically, skillfully, mentally, everything. It was I'm an advocate for the fact I love footy the way it is.
I know it hasn't always happened because I think Hawthorn in 08 when they won it and the doggies didn't make finals the year after they won the flag, did they?
No, they didn't.
A drop off. So do you reckon... So it's entirely possible that a team that isn't the best team for a whole year will win the flag because of the nature of finals, right? So you could be third, fourth, even like doggies were seventh and they won it.
Yep.
How much of a boost does it give you the following year if you've won it? Do you start to, like, because I thought Richmond, like the year they won it, were amazing finals, spit like the doggies, like amazing, but I didn't think they were the best team that year. And then for the following year, they just came out and it was like, yeah, you like they'd won the flag that the previous year, but geez, they were a machine the following year.
It gives you total belief in what it is you're doing. The first time you do it, the first time you go on that journey to winning it, you think you're doing it right, you hope you're doing it right, and once it feels like you're doing it right, you just grab on for dear life and want to keep doing it and ride it to what it might eventually lead to. But once it does lead to that, you've just got rock solid belief that, okay, if we do this, we should back ourselves that we will win against anyone, anytime, anywhere. And I think that's where probably Richmond got to. But unfortunately for them, they missed that opportunity last year because in finals, anything can happen again, which is the strange part.
It looks a bit like that's what's going on at West Coast. I know they dropped the first game to a seriously impressive Brisbane team, just quietly. But they do look... They look better than last year, West Coast.
Yes, definitely. Opinion. And Gaff slotting back in was fantastic. They brought a couple of other players in, which added different elements. How good are Brisbane? I mean, your former club, they are a great example of when you get a good young group of players, develop them up the right way, right mix of older players and a really good coach. They're flying.
I think that's what, touching on what you just said before about the confidence, is that, yeah, they had a bit of confidence from last year, but not the over winning a premiership or winning a couple of finals. It was just the belief and confidence and fun they looked like they were having from the outside. I've had a chat to actually Sammy Doherty a few times about it, and it looks fun to be up there. It looks like it's a place that cares, they're having fun, and they're enjoying it. And they're getting a bit of confidence from each other and playing that game, the game style they're playing. And watching them, like how Mitch Robinson reacted when Link took that hanger on the weekend. Amazing hanger. But just that, they're just having a bit of fun out there as much as anything, learning how to be themselves. It's amazing when you go care, fun, and confidence together. It's nearly unstoppable on a footy field. And it's like anything in life. If you get any confidence in life and you're having fun in what you're doing, you become an unstoppable force, and that's what's happening, it looks like, from the outside in Brisbane.
It's a strong combination, isn't it? Because chance, really across the entire league, everybody's drafted to a club because they're skillful and athletic. Yeah. I mean, there's not that big a difference between athletic prowess or skill. It's those things, elements that you're talking about captured together that turn clubs into really good teams. And how great is it to see Link McCarthy playing good footy? Wish it was here in the blue and white hoops, but wrapped for him.
What was that? Like, what did he do? He was like going back with the flight and then just sprung up. Is that Mark of the Year so far? We've seen some, I know it's early, but we've seen some good ones.
Yeah. Isaac Heaney, Josh Bruce, and Lynx. Nah. I reckon at
Lynx,
the three.
Lynx got him covered, I reckon.
Got him covered, okay.
That was ridiculous.
You've still got one in you before the year's out, haven't you?
It'd be the first. I don't know if I said this before. I genuinely thought I'm not joking, I thought I sat on someone's neck in the VFL one year when I was starting out, and I strutted back like Mason Cox off the mark. Real happy with myself, sort of getting back. And I watched the vision back. I'm not joking. I need the guy in the glute. That's where I hit him. I actually would have given him nearly a dead leg. So no, I don't have a specky in me.
That is perfect. I love that. Just quickly, before we do take a break, and we are going to be talking with Jordan Clark shortly, some really important games to come. Obviously, GWS this Saturday, 1:45 GMHBA Stadium. The Hawks, the big Easter Monday clash, which is always a beauty. And West Coast also down here at home. GWS, it's going to be a huge test, a challenge, because they are playing brilliant footy. Jeremy Cameron's in great form. Josh Kelly's back. They've got a really complete list as well. It'll be a really good test for both teams as to how they're travelling early on in the season, won't it?
Yeah, big time. I watched them on the weekend and they looked really, really polished, again, as they always do. Coming down here, they play well. We've had some good games down here over the last couple of years and we're going to have to be at our best again, and we've brought it the first 3 weeks. We just need to keep that train rolling.
The expectation, probably Matty DeBoer goes to someone. Who's your fear? The great thing about the Geelong midfield right now is you've seen some weeks, I think Harms early on went to Tim Kelly. Paddy got off the chain and was just loving running around with no one near him. And then Harms went to Paddy and Tim gets freed up. The options, DeBoer, Selwood, Kelly, Dangerfield, Charlie Constable. Yeah. You can't tag them all, can you?
If I were coaching and I was sending a tag out, I would nearly always give to the opposition's best runner and user. So there's no point tagging Patrick Cripps or Paddy. Like, they're going to get 15 contests or 20 contests at a game, but you may as well try and stop the guy they're going to give it to. Now, I don't know who they will say that is for us. We have a few of those guys too. But I'd be quite happy if he went to Paddy, because I reckon he'd win that contest.
You reckon Paddy would just keep getting it and the other boys would have a heap of fun?
I do think Paddy's that good at the minute.
Well, he is looking exactly like that. We better take a break. We're going to talk VFL after the break. We're going to talk your questions too. So, and as always, we appreciate people sending their questions in, fans@geelongcats.com.au or on Twitter, Instagram or Facebook. And a little bit later on, we're going to have a chat with Jordan Clark, the young star at the Cats. Let's take a break. Saturday Arvo footy is back just in time for school holidays at GMHBA Stadium. We are taking on the Giants in a huge clash this Saturday at 1:45 p.m. There will be fun for the whole family with tickets starting from $5 for kids and $30 for adults. Geelong, it's time to get around your town, get around your team, and get to GMHBA Stadium. Head to ticketmaster.com.au. To the Final Bell is back, brought to you by Thirsty Camel. As I said, I am joined by Zach Tui and Lockie Henderson. Great to have Hendo with us for this week's podcast. Scotty Gallen is absent. We're going to get to why he's absent in the questions in a second. Interesting, one of the people who've sent in questions this week. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's talk VFL for a moment. Just a quick wrap of the VFL. Friday night footy it was. Unfortunately, the Cats went down by 14 points to the Tigers. Zach Guthrie listed as best on, as well as Sam Simpson. So some good form there. Anyone knocking on the door? I mean, the form is so good of the AFL at the moment. I wouldn't be expecting too many changes. Unfortunately, Zach, you're still a few weeks away. So is there anyone else, and maybe if it's not this week, just in the next couple of weeks, that we could expect to see playing AFL?
Yeah, I think you named two of them just then, Simo and Z-Bang, Zach Guthrie. So I think James Parsons had a very good game through the midfield as well. So there's three names that are probably top of the list. But as he said, the boys are playing such good footy in the AFL. It's always hard, but it's good for the club to have those boys banging on the door.
Jordan Kunick, I think, got hurt. Is that right?
Yeah, it was actually sickening to watch. I was here when he did it. Popped right out and then came back in. And he's had surgery a couple of days ago, I think. So he's back home.
What's that looking like time-wise? I've missed that.
You're looking at 12, I think. Maybe double check that, but this isn't a 4 week, or unfortunately,
it's a long one. Then,
and I think you just spoke last week the fact that at whatever point he got into the AFL team, you felt he had a big part to play in the AFL season. I was really happy with how he was going,
and like he was putting in a lot of time, sort of off the track, to improve his game and, you know, different positions and learning it all. And I've always liked the way he moves. I think he's a really smooth mover. And he was just looked like he was. I was, like I said last week, I was really confident he was going to play a lot of footy this year. So that's the nature of the game, unfortunately.
Damn, injuries. Yeah. We hate them. Hopefully he comes back bigger and better than ever. So the VFL play against Northern Blues at 1 p.m. this Sunday at GMHBA Stadium. If you want to come down and have a look at that. Obviously, the AFL playing on the Saturday, 1:45 against the GWS Giants. And in the AFLW news, just quickly, I'm sure everyone's already heard this or read this. Meg McDonald won the inaugural Best and Fairest. Congratulations to Meg, and was all Australian as well. And a really good story, delisted by the Bulldogs. Stuck at it, committed, worked extremely hard. And now has her name up on the board as the inaugural winner of the Best and Fairest for the Geelong Cats in the AFLW. So congratulations to her. We will give updates throughout the year on this podcast on how the VFLW team's travelling, and we will talk plenty of VFL and always try and keep a track on who is banging down that door for selection. But let's get to some questions. Thank you to everyone who sent it in, fans@geelongcats.com.au or via social media. They always get a few doozies here, Hendo, so I'll try and send a few in your direction. Hef asks this one. Who does the biggest bench and deadlift at the club? And give us the weights.
Reece Downey's yep. bench at about 170 kilos yeah. or something.
So that's one rep max?
One rep max.
170.
Ooh. Yeah. I think Jonathan Brown was the one I just found before. That was 157, so he's even got brownie cover from back in the day when I was a little
Yeah, I reckon best Podsy, James Podsy Adley was about that 155, 160, I reckon, at the Cats. So one, so that's yeah. big.
That huge. Is a big one. And deadlift.
Deadlift?
We don't really do a deadlift.
Don't really test it.
Do you test what squats? Do you test anything squats. Like that?
What or? Kind of max?
We do the max squats, yeah. We do the max squats. I reckon Harry would be up there. I think Reece is actually pretty good at that. Reece
yeah, he will be, despite the fact he's bloody Adonis upper body is being supported by a couple of noodles. A shocking set of pins.
He is a physical specimen, isn't
yeah,
he,
Yeah, he's glorious looking too.
Oh, yeah.
Just, sorry.
It makes us all angry.
Don't know where I came from.
Speaking of glorious looking, I'm going to get to a question in a second. Someone wants to know something about, oh, Reggie here.
Glorious looking.
Stefan asks, now the fact that this question relates to Stefan Ockenbore, I'm wondering if perhaps it's from him, but I don't know because I've only got a first name for this question. Am I pronouncing that right? It's Ockenbore?
Stefan, yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, you had me. Is Stefan Ockenbore funnier than Zach Tui? And why did Zach copy Tom Stewart's tattoo?
This is just, ooh. This is not even clever. No, I believe it's the question. It's written here. Question. But it's just not even, like, it's not clever.
Answer the question, Zach.
Don't tell me what to do.
Don't get agitated.
Stefan is not just not funnier than me. He's not even funnier than Mark. Which is like saying you're not funnier than Lingy. Like, it is not a good thing.
Why did I have to be brought into
it? And the whole tattoo thing, it's not like it's hard to find out who got it first.
So you copied Tom, okay.
Yes.
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 Tyson asks, how do you tackle, I assume match up, not just specifically tackle, Lachie Whitfield this week? A serious footy one here. Run with him, just back the team structure. How's it work?
It's more team structure, I think, with someone like Lachie Whitfield. He's such a smart player that if you start trying to go with him too much, he's going to pull you apart and make your team defence or team offence, whichever one it is, just get pulled apart a little bit. So I think with someone like him, we'll just have a team focus on him and try and stop him that way. But he's in fantastic form. I watched him run around last weekend and he was brilliant.
And he uses it really well.
He's a bit of an Andrew Gaff, isn't he? Like, yeah. Just gets to such good positions. With those types, you're probably better trying to stop it at the source. So I assume he's pretty heavily reliant on it getting out to him. You know, he's such a good runner on the outside, like Gaff is, that I'm not sure you can stop it once it gets out into space. So maybe you just try and stop it getting out there.
And they're the right combo, aren't they? Like Gaff and Whitfield and these players.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Brilliant runners. But actually utilise their running ability and end up in the right spot. Some players, unfortunately, brilliant athletes, great runners, but just junk running, waste running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Incredibly smart players.
Now we get to the interesting questions, Hendo. All I'm suggesting is that he thinks he's funny and it's clearly come from him. Two questions from one of our listeners named Zach. Just wanted to the first one's actually not a question, it's a statement. Just wanted to reiterate my earlier statement. Please get Gullen off the show. Well, you've managed that.
That's not me, but they've listened.
Question, is Big Reg as handsome in real life as he looks on TV?
Who's that from?
A flog.
Who's that from?
You are the only one that calls himself. You call yourself Big Reg. You're the only one to call Big
Reg. The people of Geelong call me Big Reg.
I just call you Reg, mate, not Big Reg.
No, I'm Reg. I'm Big Reg, Strong Reg, Big Sexy, some people call me. That's kind of awkward.
King Reg.
King Reg.
Do you understand the concept of a pseudonym?
Yeah, it's like an old ship.
It's using a different name, not actually writing in under the name Zach.
I am Reg.
Oh, you're not Red. Your name's Zach. Could have used a different name.
Didn't I change that?
No.
Mistake on my part. answer the question.
I'll let you answer the question, Hendo. Is he as handsome in real life as he looks on TV?
No.
Even better.
So
he's not handsome at all. That's what I was trying to get to.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry. You had a really rattled look on your face.
Maybe you were sitting at home one day thinking, wow, Reg does look wonderfully handsome on TV today. But just full stop, not
just
handsome.
Yeah, just full stop, not at all.
I'm at least interesting looking.
That, yes.
Yeah, no, listen, I've been described as interesting as well. So it's not something you necessarily
not by any of the listeners, you haven't.
Oh, our questions have gone downhill. We need to start thoroughly vetting these questions. And if you're going to send one in, use a different name.
I'll remember.
All right. We better take a break. I enjoy talking with you, Hendo, but somebody else I want to actually talk to, not Big Reg or Handsome Reg or Big Sexy, that's the other one. Another bloke that I really do want to talk to, Jordan Clark, a star drafted number 15 by the Cats. He has just wandered through the door and he's going to be our guest next. And I believe he might have a little announcement up his sleeve. Well, I hope he does. Anyway, we'll talk to him after the break. Saturday Arvo footy is back just in time for school holidays at GMHBA Stadium. We are taking on the Giants in a huge clash this Saturday at 1:45 p.m. There will be fun for the whole family with tickets starting from $5 for kids and $30 for adults. Geelong, it's time to get around your town, get around your team and get to GMHBA Stadium. Head to ticketmaster.com.au. Welcome back. The man that we've been dying to talk to, Jordan Clark, has entered the room. Jordan, welcome to you. Thanks. Great to have you with us. And have you just sensed... little chilly in here. Zach's
gotten really tense.
Maybe a touch threatened by the fact that there's going to be no position available.
Clark's playing really good footy.
Yeah. I haven't hidden my feelings about Clarkie at all. I intensely dislike him. No, I don't. He is dominating though.
Is he a nice fella?
Yeah, he is one of the good ones. I'll be honest, he's one of the good ones.
Well, you're doing a beautiful job so far. How have you found it? Three games in, three wins, which is nice, but loving it? Everything that you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's very good fun. I'm loving playing out there with the older boys and just playing in front of a lot of people. It's just good fun.
Now, Hendo said right at the start of this podcast that what a win it was on Thursday night, incredible win, that maybe some of the younger players almost didn't or couldn't appreciate how big a win that was in such a hostile environment. Did you find that over there when Adelaide were coming that it is a fair old cauldron over there, isn't it? They're a passionate crowd.
Yeah, I'll probably, in that bracket, I didn't really understand how big a win it is. Sort of just another win of home and away season, I thought. But, no, in front of that crowd, when Adelaide were coming, and then we just get the upper hand again and pretty much bury them. That was awesome.
That sums him. So I don't know if we had this on this podcast a few weeks ago when I was asked about Clarkie. Just players very instinctive, right? So that's fine. But I was so confident going into round one that it just wouldn't faze him because it's just playing footy every week. Like, that was a huge win against a quality outfit in hostile territory, and it's just another win as far as he's concerned.
I remember some of my early days of playing my first game I ever played was over in Adelaide. It was at the old footy park. It was against Port Adelaide. I remember being so petrified of the crowd. I was too scared to do anything.
Mm. That was your first game. I'm 160 games in. Yeah. Every time I get out there.
Handles in the fetal position before every game.
So he just handled it beautifully. You've seen him firsthand. Was it always just come in and...
Yeah, I think from what Zach said, it was just, I think you even made the comment one day, it's just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to play footy, just beat opponent, get ball, kick ball, kick goals. Like, it's pretty simple the way you look at footy, and it's a brilliant way to look at footy. I think you see the young kids coming in and you can sort of tell the ones that are going to get it early, and Clarkie was one of them straight away, which we've seen.
Certainly doing that. Tell us a little bit about your journey. We've heard a couple of the media people talk, we won't talk cricket just yet, hat-trick or what was it?
Going.
4 for 0 or five balls? Or?
Stop talking about it.
But is it true? You had to cover a lot of Ks as a youngster, or your parents did, had to drive the car to get to Perth for training and everything like that. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so yeah, mum and dad tend to cover a lot of Ks, drove 4.5 hour from Albany to Perth just to get me there for the footy and cricket training and another 4.5 hours back. So in about year 10, I think it was, I missed nearly 100 days of school, and I loved it. I thought it was the best. I think it was wearing mum and dad down a little bit, so then I started schooling in Perth.
Did your school suffer at all, just out of interest? Handled it all right?
Oh, there wasn't much to suffer, really. I wasn't the smartest kid at school. So.
don't talk yourself down too much. But, I mean, it's a great story, that sacrifice that the parents, the family make to... For any, and I'm sure all of us have got the similar stories. I mean, you didn't have to travel very far, only the other side of the world.
But my parents didn't drop me though, so
they just dropped you at the airport, happy to get rid of you. It is remarkable. You need that support base around you, and I'm sure you appreciate everything that they did and still do for you.
Yeah, obviously, it's not just mum and dad as well, it's brothers and sisters who obviously allow mum and dad to, one of them to take me and. They sort of suffer as well, don't get time. Mum and dad, I had two pretty young siblings at the time, so I guess it's probably just big from the whole family, not just mum and dad.
You got two brothers? Or one
three brothers.
Three brothers.
Yep.
Oh, are they any good at footy as well? Can we sign them up?
You can sign them up, but that'd be awesome. But yeah, they go all right. Yeah, they're still, one's fairly young, he's 14, and one's coming through this year. That's 17.
Coming through the system, the pathway?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Can we talk to Wellesley now?
It's Wellesley be all over it for sure.
Yeah, I do feel like he'd have his finger on the pulse. It's a wonderful commitment from the parents, and they're more often than not the unsung heroes, but it's still a big effort, like, for Clarkie to do that. And that's like a really good sign of somebody coming in. Like, he says, yeah, I loved it. Missed a bit of school. Got to go training. But it's still a long time traveling. And to get up and perform at that level he did at cricket, and then to come straight in, like, he's 18, played in three wins and a team sitting top of the AFL ladder. Like, yeah. It's an incredible effort.
It's huge. Right, can you put to bed, please, cricket? Put some finality to this. How many wickets, how many balls, how many runs? Against who?
Against Pakistan in Dubai. yeah, I took 5 for 37, I think, and...
And that included a spell of...
Hat-trick and 4 for none, 5 balls.
So that's like 2 goals or something? Well, can you put that in footy terms for me?
Surely you've got some comprehension of how good that is.
It is. It's incredible.
4 for none, all clean bowled, catches on the boundary.
Caught behind, and then the hat-trick ball was clean bowled.
How good are you at cricket?
Not very good anymore. I've given it away.
How good were you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know. Probably just had a lucky run there for a bit.
Could you bat at all?
Oh, like slogging it. No, I was a bit of a slog.
Something tells me he's playing it down here. Yeah. How quick were you? Kilometres per hour?
Never got clocked. I don't know.
So say 140s.
Yeah, around there. Not quite, but.
Not quite. Now, we've got you on here, not just to talk footy and cricket and loving what you're doing. Have you got anything you'd like to tell us, what's going on at the moment? Anything you'd like to tell the Cats fans out there?
Yeah, every time I walk through the hallway, Zach tries to line me up.
Anything more exciting than that?
Not too much going on. Yeah, not too much, actually.
Any announcements? Anything we can tell our loyal fans out there?
Oh, now I know where this is going.
You're just playing this down at the moment. I'm excited by it. I'm pumped about it.
No, I didn't know where you were going with that for a minute. I actually completely forgot. I signed a, a new contract for a further 2 years yesterday.
So. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you're here till... So you already signed for 2020?
Yep.
So 21, 22, locked away.
Yep.
That's good news. That's probably really good news.
Walking by then, so. No. That's great news.
Actually, it doesn't impact these two blokes, so don't worry, they'll be long gone.
It impacts me a lot. I'm not getting a contract now.
That's great news. You must be wrapped.
Yeah, no, it's good to get it out of the way pretty early. Just gives you that assurance of the next couple of years.
So there's no homesickness, no thoughts of, you've obviously enjoyed it enough to sign on already.
Yeah, no homesickness at all.
Are we starting to see this more and more? A little bit, you read new draftees, once clearly a body of work needs to be presented, but a pre-season and a few games or half a dozen games or whatever in, clubs want to give you that security and say, now we believe in you and we hope that you believe in us. Let's lock you away for more than the standard contract of 2 years once you're drafted. Is that happening more throughout guys who are a bit younger and just been drafted?
Yeah, I'd say. Well, I've heard only a couple, a handful at the moment have been signed on, but to be honest, I wouldn't know if it's common or not. So,
do you follow much footy like outside?
Oh, no, not try not to, just get away from it outside of playing and that on the weekend, do something else rather than watch the footy.
So. I think it definitely is because of the way footy's going. Free agency's coming in, there's more movement, it's getting easier and easier for players to move. So I think clubs, especially with good players, great players, potential, to try and sign them on and keep them around for just that little bit longer to make sure that they understand what we're about and they also enjoy the club. And if they're happy to do it, it means you've got a good club to be out there, enjoying being there, and they're happy to sign on. And that's what we've got down here. We're lucky. Obviously, there's no another club. Zach and I have been at a few different clubs. I've been at a few clubs. We sort of know how it works. And I think clubs are a little bit more happy to make that signature early when they see potential, they see a good kid, and they're so easy, and it's getting easier to move around footy clubs.
Well, certainly appear to have a very good kid here with this man. Just before we do let you go, what are your other interests? What does take your mind away from footy?
Whatever, Fortnite.
I have not played a second of Fortnite. Is it actually that good?
I'm a Fortnite player.
Yeah. You play it?
I play it a bit.
You play it?
No.
I play it a bit.
How many hours per day?
Oh, I don't play it every day, but when I get on at night, probably I could do 2 hours, I reckon. Just talk crap, pretty much.
You're linked in with other people, the other boys from the footy club, is it, or mates back home?
I play with my little brothers as well.
Oh, that'd be a nice way to...
You're such an old man. So you talk to people? Are they in the TV? How does it work?
Do you still use the phones with the the dial, you rotate it?
The joystick?
Yeah.
Joystick?
I'm not that old. Anything else apart from Fortnite?
Oh, I just get out about. I can go to the beach. Can't surf, but so just go down there. And
Found a few good cafes around here?
Oh, yeah, cafes. Spend a lot of time with them. Used to play a bit of cricket. Let's see.
We might need to sign him up for my team. We'll talk after this is finished. All right.
Yeah, no worries.
We need to recruit. Just
quick one.
On cafes, before you get to ask this one.
Go ahead.
Are you with Zach? Zach really dislikes waiters or waitresses who don't write orders down and just go off thinking that they've nailed it. Are you in that camp?
I'm not really against it, but it does blow my mind when they take about 8 people's orders off the top of their head. Then they have to come back and ask again. I don't really see.
Yeah, see, he hates it too. He hates it. Look at him. Bubbling up inside
him. He's just a lot nicer than you.
I think so, yeah. Life hasn't broken him yet. Hey, did you think Hawk was going to give it to you? Could I ask? Did he call you or were you screaming at him?
No, so there was no calling going on. To be honest, I could have shot myself.
Yeah, that's what
I was scared if I missed that, I'm probably going to cop a spray. So give the hands and then... I thought he was just going to kick the goal, and then he looked over at me, and I thought I was a chance, and then he turned back. Then I just kept going, and he's giving it to me. So,
oh, good.
Nice moment. It was a fantastic moment.
Awesome. One of the best, yeah.
We better let you go because you've, I'm sure, got to get on with Fortnite or some more training, hopefully.
Yeah, another clinic downstairs, I think.
So. Oh, fantastic. Well, it is great news. I know it took a little while for you to realise what I was talking about there.
Yeah, didn't know where you were going for a minute there.
But I am pumped, and I know all Geelong fans out there will be rapt that you've signed on for an extra 2 years at the Cats. Loving what you're doing so far. Good luck for the rest of the season. Good luck this Saturday, and thank you for joining us on To The Final Bell.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
What an incredible kid. He just – is it – you've said it – nothing fazes him. Mind you, I was worried I wasn't going to get the announcement out of him that he's actually re-signed with the
club. I was worried
club.
This was the first he was going to hear of it. Maybe someone signed the contract on his behalf. And
just another 2 years playing brilliant footy.
But that's him in a nutshell. And it's why he'll be such a good player. Just won't faze him.
He He's so impressive. Absolutely love what he's doing. And great news that he is going to be around. So for season 21 and 22, he's signed. So locked away for the Cats, which is wonderful. Now, Hendo, because you're an avid listener to this podcast, you know everything about For Whom the Bell Tolls. But it's our little opportunity where we get to have a little clip or have a little say on something non-AFL related. Every now and then we drift back into AFL. I think Zach's gone, waitresses,
kids,
other people's kids. That. Scotty Gallen's wants to strangle wildlife with plastic bags.
And pigeons.
Wants pedestrians to just basically dodge traffic. So you can go anything you like here. So I'm going to give you a moment to think of what you've got For Whom the Bell Tolls. Zach, can you start us off, please? Yeah. Give Hendo an example of what we do.
We can definitely all agree on this. These bloody vegans. Now, morally, good on them. They're doing the right thing. But, like, honestly, Flinders, like, what are they doing? This is not a good way of getting people on your side. And I'm tired of them anyway, because they go around biting people, turning them into vegans. That might be vampires. But I dislike the two of them. Vampires and vegans can both get stuffed. Vampires and vegans, double V, flogs.
Listen, you've probably got a point about vampires. Don't really want them around. Vegans, is it mainly the ones who try and push it onto other people or just because they disrupt traffic?
They need some serious PR, vegans, right now, because nobody likes them, even though they're doing good things. But honestly, if you want to win people over and get them on your side, that is not a good way of doing it. And it can cause some serious trouble. Like, what happens if an ambulance has to get through or... Agreed. It's not good PR. Like, and all joking aside, they could have caused something pretty bad to happen.
Agreed. Are there any vegans at the club? Any of the players?
Better not be. I'll bring in my garlic and silver bullet or whatever.
Steak.
That's werewolves. So, yeah, never mind.
So that's the remarkably high standard that we have for this segment.
Do you agree?
No, I agree fully.
Because they're doing... Philosophically, they're doing a good thing by not eating meat, but honestly, you could have caused something bad.
Yeah, no, I agree fully. First time, I think. What are we, a year and a quarter into this podcast?
I must have taken it, yeah. Have I ever taken a shot at Scotty? Because I feel like you would have jumped on.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Mind you, there is moments where I do agree with you or wanting to yell at other people's kids thing, but I won't fully admit that. Hendo, have you got something for us?
Yeah, I do. So I'm a single man. I go on dates every now and again, or even just going out to dinner with the boys. And you go into a restaurant and loud music in a restaurant when you're trying to chat to people.
Too loud.
Too loud. You're not going to restaurants to listen to music. You go into restaurants to talk, enjoy food. So when you go in there and I can't talk to someone half a meter away from me, it just really gets on my nerves.
Yeah, that's fair. And then the waitress comes down and doesn't take your goddamn order down.
And then there's a kid running around and you can't tell the kid off.
Well, that's a good one. I'm happy with that.
You boys
restaurants
together,
aren't the place for it.
Yeah, the loud music is somewhere else. Restaurants, you want just a bit of...
Loud people in restaurants come into that as well. It's just inconsiderate.
Yeah,
it's inconsiderate by the restaurants. It's inconsiderate by the people. We're not there to listen to you or listen to music.
We're more there to eat food
and enjoy.
Conversationalist.
I don't speak often, but when I do speak, I'd like to be heard.
Okay, it's a good start.
I agree with that
too. Good start. Well, the fact that you two have bonded together over your For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Mutual hate of kids.
I am coming back at you two as a group. I thought we were a strong, united podcast. Mind you, you drifted off over summer into this one, that one, doing everything under the sun, went down Media Street big time. Hendo, we brought you in and we embraced you with open arms to be part of our podcast. Now I hear a whisper that you two have decided you're going to team up together as little buddies and, well, cut man Scotty Gallen out of it and you're doing your own podcast. What's going on?
Yeah, we are. But I said from day one, admittedly behind your back, that the only reason I was doing this podcast is to get a really good understanding and grasp on what not to do. And then once I've weeded out all the weaknesses, of which there are many, and predominantly it's you and Scotty, I've decided to head off at Hendo and have some conversations.
Just in your defense, Lee, one of the first things Zach said to me was, look, I'm doing this, but at some point I want to go out on my own. I just need you to know that.
So he's going to cut you out as well.
But he started with that. So at least he didn't say it behind my back. He was face to face. He said it, but it was one of the first things he said.
Well, I seriously want to do this properly, you know, potentially down the line.
You are just leaving a trail of carnage behind you, just body strewn all over the road with me and poor Scotty Gallen there going to chop...
We haven't even started yet.
Just the weak ones. The ones that can't hang on.
The theory of evolution.
We are We are actually starting, and we'll do our first one this week.
Tell us about it then. It's okay. I'll forgive you. Plug it, please. What's it called, and when's it all launching?
You go for your life. You've
done a lot of that. We've got our first guest on. We're going to record this week. He's going to be Chris Judd. We've played with him before.
Oh, the Blue Boys are sticking together.
Judd is going to talk to us first. And it's going to be every few weeks. It's going to be called the Elephant Rope, which will be nice. And I'm looking forward to it.
Coming up in a few weeks' time, or when's the first one going to drop?
So I think, look, the idea is that we'll get Juddy done this week, and we'll probably stockpile one or two just so we can have a semi-regular release date. But the idea is we'll get footy people on, and obviously if we have Juddy on, we're going to talk a bit about footy. But it isn't supposed to be a footy podcast. It is supposed to be just a conversation to different sort of interesting people. And well, obviously we're keen footy heads, but it can be all encompassing. And it just got to a stage where we're both interested in this stuff and the opportunity arose. So the elephant.
Fantastic. Rock. It sounds like a terrific concept. And the fact you're going to have, you know, really interesting people on there, some guests that you really want to chat to and you know, get involved in your podcast.
You're not getting on, Cameron.
Should I put something in the diary? Do we talk? Oh, we'll talk off air.
You're on the long list, Ken.
Was that
you're on the long list.
Email? I got
and that list
you,
is or? Labelled
very
bottom
long
of the barrel.
if we're
last
really
resort, to that list is.
Okay, this is getting more awkward as we go along. Well, in that case, Scotty Gallen's coming back next week. We're going to chop you out. Me and Scotty are going to have a breakaway podcast.
What are you going to call it? Go on, put you on the spot. Come up with a name.
To the final bell, too.
Revenge of the bell.
No, good luck with that. Chris Judd will be the first guest, so I'll be looking forward to listening to that one. I do that much driving up and down the highway for work. I love listening to podcasts, so I will tune into that. So, Hendo, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully it was you got a little bit of an insight into what not to do as well.
Yeah, I did a little bit, listening to you.
How it's important to write down what the name of the show is, which I nearly forgot about halfway through.
A year and a half in.
It's just a couple of little tips for you. But no, really appreciate your company. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you, Lee.
Hopefully you get out and get some waves soon, I believe.
I plan on
Will
it.
Will you get down to the Rip Curl Pro?
I will be down there for sure. Yep, I'll go down and watch.
Who's going to win it? Men's and women's.
Oh, Italo's had a good one just up north. He won Gold Coast. I'm going to say John because it'll be big enough. And I'm going to go with Sal.
Sal, yes.
I'll go with Sal. Geelong supporter. She's
a Geelong fan and in form too. I think one in Newcastle.
And I think she was quarters. Don't hold me this, but maybe she's quarters or semis on the Gold Coast.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully they get some really good swell. I'll probably see you down there.
We will for sure.
Mind you, I don't surf much these days. I'm a warm water surfer, summer surfer. I'm a cricketer, that's right. Me and Clarkie can compare notes about the level we play at. As always, thank you to all our listeners out there. Remember the game this Saturday. GWS 145 GMHBA Stadium. The Hawks, Easter Monday the following week. West Coast back at GMHBA Stadium, so some fantastic games to come. Keep your questions coming in, fans at geelongcats.com.au. Next week, Zach will be back, I'll be back, and Scotty Gullen will be back. We're maybe going to start a little petition to get Hendo back, though.
I would imagine we'll get a lot of signatures.
You reckon? Okay.
Just because he's up against Scotty, not because he was good. I'll vote for that.
No, thank you, Hendo. Thank you, Zach. And thank you to all our listeners out there.